Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in studio right now is the campus pastor from Finlandia University, Soren Schmidt. Soren, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Rick, for having me here. I appreciate it.
Now, you've had an exciting year. We were kind of talking about it a little bit. Recently, you were installed officially as the pastor, but you've been at Finlandia for a while. I wanted to get a little bit of background as far as, you know, what brought you to, you know, to be in this position here. And then later on in the segment, we can talk a little bit about the value and or the role that faith plays in, going to college in a student's life. So I think there's some interesting things that we can talk about. First of all, how long have you been at Finlandia?
I've been at Finlandia since August of 2009, August 15th, 17th, 2009. Prior to that, I was in outdoor ministry at Fortune Lake Lutheran Camp for 10 years part-time and then 10 years full-time, and that position ended August 15th. So I got done there August 15th, 2009, and started at Finlandia August 17th, and moved all of our family in the one day in between.
Now, every pastor is always asked at least at one point, so why did you want to become a pastor?
Well, I grew up really involved in my faith as a youth, doing a lot of the youth activities we had at Christ the King in Escanaba, and that just kind of spilled over into what I did in my daily life and how I responded to things at school in Escanaba, and in my wrestling was really spiritual for me as well. And that continued with choosing my first college, which was Suomi College, where I got my degree, and then Dana College, which was a Danish Lutheran college in Blair, Nebraska. And going on from there, I spent a lot of summers at Fortune Lake Lutheran Camp as a camper and then as summer staff. So it was always part of my life that I couldn't separate myself from. And I know I needed it to be a part for me, for my walk in faith. And I felt encouraged to help others with that as well.
You mentioned that you went to Suomi College, which would be formerly Finlandia University.
Absolutely.
So this is a bit of a homecoming for you.
It is. I spent two years there and got a double associate's in fine arts and pre-physical education. Andrea Hauge-Bacon was one of my instructors there, and she had me co-teach a cross-country ski class with her as a student. So if it was a four-year college then, I would have stayed 4 years, but it was only 2 years, so I went to a Danish Lutheran College after that.
Do you remember if they had a campus minister at that time?
They did. At the time, the campus minister was Pastor Michael Martin, and he was only there for 2 years. And he also impressed me in part of my faith formation as well. We started, I was a resident assistant, and we started some more groups for the students there to share in their faith discussion. And he actually led me to Dana College. I wasn't sure where I was headed after that. And he was on his way there for a homecoming. And I said, yeah, I'll do that. That sounds like a fun trip. I've never been to Nebraska. So we got there for the homecoming, and I met Senator Paul Simon, who had his entourage. And he met me, shook my hand, told the rest of his people to leave. And he sat down with me on a bench and talked with me for like 15 minutes. Shared his faith story, shared his story of going to Dana College, said thank you, and then left. And I was, impressed that I just sat down with a senator. And a week later, he sent me a letter saying thank you for the conversation. I hope that it was meaningful for you, and I hope that you would continue to look at Dana College to help grow in your faith and your education. And I did. That's where I got my music degree.
That is the life of a minister. It's made up of tiny moments strung together or spread out, sometimes over years, where you look back on a career and you say, well, there was that one moment or another one. And usually they're not major things. They're small chance meetings like the one you mentioned, or mm-hmm. when you had a chance to say a few words to somebody in passing that went on and made a huge difference. Oftentimes you don't even know the impact that you have, but rest assured, it's those moments that make, the career, which doesn't have a ton of other worldly benefits to it, it makes it worth it.
Right. And I think, looking back in retrospect, you really see, I could see the Spirit moving in different ways, and you get pulled sometimes in ways you didn't even expect. For instance, becoming the campus pastor and moving over there originally as the campus chaplain because I wasn't ordained at the beginning, but I was a licensed lay minister. I was still at Fortune Lake Lutheran Camp, and President Philip Johnson came when he was the campus pastor. He brought a youth group to Fortune Lake, and they had an activity there. You know, and he just mentioned to me off the cuff one day, he goes, you know, you would make a really good campus chaplain, campus pastor in the future. And at that time, I looked at him and I said, no, I really enjoy what I'm doing. I feel called to outdoor ministry. And I didn't feel anything else. I thought I was going to be an outdoor ministry, you know, leader for a long time. And then the next year, he was president of Finlandia University. He came with a group again to Fortune Lake. And he basically verbatim said the same thing to me, but there was something in the air, you know, floating with that, that kind of threw me for a loop. And I was like, why am I even thinking about this? Because, you know, this outdoor ministry seemed to be my calling, but now I feel like there's this new calling in there. And so we discussed that. The opportunity happened, and I came back to serve the community that gave to me. And the nice thing was, six of the students that worked for me at Fortune Lake from Suomi College became part of the core of the campus ministry at Finlandia when I first got there. So that helped in the transition as well.
What is outdoor ministry? Because as I'm aware of many different kinds of ministry, but that one I'm picturing John the Baptist, the voice calling in the wild, and that you're standing in one of our frozen ponds doing baptisms outside in the winter.
Yeah. Well, it is in the ELCA we have a lot of camps and resorts, and part of the ministry that everybody knows is the youth ministry during the summer, where kids come to camp for a week or 2 weeks to share in a certain experience with kids that are their same age level, and that of course is one of the big things that camps do. And outdoor ministry does, but Fortune Lake became year-round camp in 2000. So they started offering a lot of different things, not just for youth, but for all ages and for special needs adults. And congregations would come there for meetings. There would be groups for quilt auctions. A lot of activity through the whole year, including ski retreats and just people needing some time.
Had to be a very exciting type of ministry if you have different people coming through kind of on a regular basis. You're seeing new faces, you're hearing new stories constantly, a lot different than if you have a home church and you're seeing the same people, which, you know, is a great different type of ministry. And
right.
Some people would much prefer that one, having sort of a family, you know, that you visit and constantly see their kids grow up and whatnot. But you're being at a camp, you see so many people pass through.
And I think that's one of the things that really attracted me to that type of ministry, because I'm a busybody, and so having different things come all the time really excited me, because there was something different happening, you know. And I always had to change up different styles because of the different age groups or the different way that things were formatted. So you really learn to expand quickly on different styles, different techniques, how you want to approach faith and share faith with one another, walk with them. And that's basically the essence of it all, knowing the group or the person that comes in and being understanding how to walk with them in their faith, not to impress something upon them, but to see where they're at, not force something, but to allow them to understand who they are and whose they are. And so I think that transition from all the different groups at Fortune Lake to becoming the campus pastor at Finlandia also had a similar thing, because we work with people of all faith. We have one campus ministry at Finlandia, and that isn't just for the ELCA Lutherans, and it isn't just for the Protestants, it isn't just for Protestants and Catholics, but we have students of all faith walks, some of no church affiliation, some with no faith background at all, atheist agnostic, some of other religions, Hindu, Buddhist, so forth. And the really interesting thing is we can all sit together at the same table and share in an open, honest dialogue and in discussion. So we have campus ministry, we have the Chapel of St. Matthew. The lower level of the chapel has a place for students to hang out. Classes meet there, and we also had a grant that we could create a place called The Table, which has a kitchen area for the students to use, you know, when they want. We can serve food from there, and it's part of our hunger advocacy. So we have a student needs pantry also, and all of that sort of combines at the table. So we say we can all come sit and discuss at the table. We can all come eat together at the table. And when you share in food, and when you share an open dialogue with someone, it's a good thing to sit together.
Talking right now with Soren Schmidt. He is the campus pastor at Finlandia University. You recently had your official installation. You said you started in Finlandia in 2009. Just kind of walk with me that process of going from where you were the, you said campus chaplain?
Campus chaplain,
yep,
yes.
To being the official campus pastor in the installation.
So when I first was hired at Finlandia, I was not an ordained pastor yet. So they hired me in the position as a licensed lay minister. I had various degrees in ministry as well, some through outdoor ministry, and a master's in ed administration through Northern Michigan University, as well as my things from Dana College and Swimmy College. So I was installed at the time as a licensed lay minister, and then I had the opportunity to continue my education at seminary through a program that they had, which was distributive learning. I would go there occasionally for classes, and there were some online classes. So I was doing that also while working with Finlandia University. And as that came to completion, I had an internship, which took me away from Finlandia for a year. So I was serving three congregations in the Ontonagon area, Siloa, Ontonagon, Mass City, St. Paul and Mass City, and first in Winona. So I was there for a year and then came back as campus pastor after I finished all of my degree work and was ordained through Luther Seminary. And then was the installation, which kept getting pushed because we were trying to find dates that would work with everybody. Some would work with for family, but it wouldn't work for some of my fellow cohort groups here for the pastors, and we wanted to also choose a date that was appropriate for where I was at. Because an installation, aside from an ordination, the ordination is basically you are being ordained as a pastor of the church. An installation is for a specific site. So it's the relationship between the pastor and the site that they serve, the community that they serve. So we wanted to make sure that it was open for the community and the right time for the community. So in our community, a lot of the leaders at Finlandia and the students at Finlandia tend to exodus on the weekends. So they are there during the week. And so we decided, well, let's choose a weekday. And we had to work with the pastors as to what day you know, would work with them as well. And we have meetings on Tuesdays, so Tuesdays works.
What's involved with an installation? Is it pretty much, is it just a ceremonious type of day?
It is a ceremony. So again, it's about the relationship between the pastor and the community they serve. So you invite those in the community that you serve. You have some of those leaders be the ones that talk about certain parts of your service, like at the baptismal font, at the pulpit, and at the table for serving communion and preaching and baptizing. And then you have the pastors in the area come and join, and the bishop, our bishop, Tom Screenis, led part of the service and led the installation, and there is a laying on of hands similar to where you would have an installation anywhere else in a congregation.
Now, a house church, I'll kind of refer to what we're kind of familiar with is, you know, any of us who attend a, you know, a local church and there's a, you know, a pastor lives in a parsonage and does the Sunday mornings and does the visitation, teaches, you know, maybe like even on Wednesdays and Sunday nights, and they have that kind of a schedule. How does that compare, or is it different to what you have to do as a campus minister?
Yeah, I would say that there are some similarities and there are some differences. The part of what is different between being a campus pastor and working in a congregation is when you're in a congregation, you're called to a certain congregation community of people that all share in a single faith. For instance, you know, if I was called to a congregation, I would be an ELCA pastor at an ELCA church. And everybody that would go there, or most of the people that would go there and worship, would be of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. But where I'm at as campus pastor at Finlandia is completely different, right? I'm called and we are affiliated with the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, but we have a wide gamut of students there, as I stated before, from many faith walks, some of no faith. And so we have the one campus ministry to serve them all. And so when you're in a congregation, you have people gather in fellowship, and as the pastor, you encourage them to share this faith outside of the church walls, which is important in service and in working with one another, all of us walking in faith together, which is something that we also do in campus ministry. We encourage walking in faith with one another. But when you're in the college setting, college is a time for students to do a lot more discovery of themselves away from family. So they're away from family. They still have their family faith, but they're coming into their own understanding of who they are and whose they are in their faith walk. So their spirituality and their faith together combined. So part of my call there is talking with them, being there, being present with them, and having the conversations when they want. So my door would be open all the time for the students and the faculty, because I serve both, not just the students, but the employees as well. And my office is the one office that's 100% confidential on campus, so they know that they can come in anytime and talk to me about whatever it is, whether it's something campus related, whether it's something educationally related, whether something happened at home. And so I would go out and if they are sick, just like any congregation, get out to see how they are. If they're hospitalized, get to the hospital. Walk around, see how they're doing in the classes, maybe catch up with some of the instructors and help guide them in their education and help walk beside them as they continue to grow into strengthen who they are.
I always felt that was something of an advantage for, you know, those who attend Finlandia University who would want to take advantage of that is most of the time you go to school, there's quite a bit of an effort to separate faith and education, you know, the separation of church and state.
Right.
But Finlandia is a Lutheran based school. I mean, they're a private university.
Correct.
So you can, you know, intermix the two in a healthy way, and for a lot of students, that's got to be a huge benefit that they can rely on that.
It does, and they also learn, since we are a private Lutheran institution affiliated with the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and we are Finnish. So they take the sisu from the Finns. They walk in their faith with us in the faith formation in the one campus ministry. So we all sit together at the same table to discuss that, and hopefully they take both of those things, focus on their calling as a student, and what that means for after becoming a student and having their education, what that means for them as they step out of that life into a larger community life with job perspectives and going off into other communities, and you know what that means for them as an individual and how they serve the people that they will be with.
as a pastor in your position, it's a tremendous responsibility because of these young people are coming in purely formative years, and for many of them, it's their first time away from home if they're coming, from out of the area to attend school here. But even if they're from the area, they're going to be mixing with people that they're not familiar with. They're going to be faced with new choices that they've never had to be tested with before. They're officially adults now, so they're free to make whatever choice they want to make.
Right.
And, you know, you play a huge role in those years for these students.
Yeah, and I would say so do all of our faculty and staff. When students come to us, and as you said, many of them might be the first time they're leaving their area, and they might not come from as rural an area. They might come from an urban area. It might be up here, so they're used to the snow. Maybe not. They're not used to the snow. So there are a lot of factors that come into them really having to learn who they are very quickly. So it's the call of us at Finlandia or at any university to partly work en loco parentis, kind of as the parent as well as the educator. So there are a lot of levels of walking with these students. If we have a student arrive and we simply say, welcome, go to your classes, we are not doing the job as educators and as people of the community to help this person grow. So we need to be welcoming. We need to understand where they are from to help them adjust to all of the new situations that they have here, walk along with them, and to let them know that there are people on campus that can help in a lot of different aspects. If they need help furthering, you know, their studies, they can go to TRIO or student support services. If they need to talk about finances, you know, where can they go for that? If they need to share in their faith, my door is open, and I know that a lot of our staff and faculty have their door open to share just in general discussions with the students as well. Because as we all know, it takes a village to raise somebody, and we have a large group of students that come in every year, and it changes because it's a four-year institution. You have the seniors that leave. You have a new freshman cohort that comes in the following year, and so dynamics change, groups change, and we have to look at each situation as unique, just as the individuals are. You know, individuals come to us all unique, all gifted in different ways with sometimes with unique wounds, but without those unique wounds, they wouldn't have the unique gifts and talents that they come with. So we help encourage those gifts so that those gifts can strengthen that person, so that they can strengthen their education, so that they can strengthen the community as a whole.
Most ministries either focus on children or on, you know, adults, married couples. That's where the bulk of ministry is taking place. And so that leaves sort of a gap when you have those years from about 16 to about 30, in some cases, where, you know, church takes a huge back seat to life.
Right.
You have this opportunity with these students to put Christ back in the center of their college years and show them the advantage of that, not waiting till later on when they want to include it in their normal everyday life. And they're now a few years removed from youth group if they even had that.
Yeah, it is. It's the interesting year where, you know, congregations say that that's kind of the lost age group is between like 16 and 35. Part of that is because they're coming into themselves. They are away at colleges or other institutions. And what I see and what a lot of the studies see with college students is that the students have this deep spirituality, this deep faith that is very personal to them. They hold on to that. You can even see that when you walk into the cafeteria, when they're there, they get their food, they pray over their food, or even when you share in discussion with them, they have this deep faith, but it's not at a point sometimes that it's openly expressive in a group of others willing to do things like that because like any of us, as we're growing and we're not fully where we want to be yet, we feel kind of drawn back and we don't want to express something for fear that we could be wrong. So we're trying to tell these students to express this faith, express your opinions, share this, because this is the time. This is the time to make those formations, to step forward in your beliefs, to step forward in your education, and to grow from that. And that's what we're there for, so that when they do complete college, they will go back to those communities. They will go back to whatever congregations they might be in as well, or you know, simply just share as a community person.
Well, Soren, I knew it would be a great conversation, and it certainly was. Thank you so much for coming on the program.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.